Tonight, we're going to talk about trades. Tonight, we're going to talk about draft props. And tonight, we're going to talk to Eric Edholm of NFL.com and see what he knows coming up on the Draft Countdown Podcast. Welcome to tonight's edition of the Draft Countdown Podcast. I'm your co-host, Brian Bosor, joined as always by my co-host, Shane P. Hallam. Shane, we are 7 days, 22 hours, 58 minutes, 25 seconds away from the 2024 NFL Draft.
About a week away. It's here. It feels like we're in that last second. Top 30 visits are done. Everything's over. It's time to get those boards set for the teams, and we're, you know, working on our final stuff and final touches here.
Yep, I started working on my final board last night. Feel pretty good about the start there. Started even plotting out my final mock draft. So we are in the end game now, as they say. Just a reminder, if you're new to the channel on YouTube and you like to you have a question about next week's proceedings, go ahead and ask it in the chat. We'll answer it at the end of the show. If you're watching along on Twitter/X, send a reply to @DraftCountdown and we will answer the question there. Or if you're a member of our Discord, you can ask a question there and we will answer it. And if you're not a member, you should be. Go to draftcountdown.com, top right corner of the search bar. There is a link to join the Discord there. And like I said, we'll answer those questions all at the end of the episode. But Shane, are you ready for the final installment of Trade-a-Palooza, episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back, baby?
We got one more in.
I have no idea who the Cleveland Browns traded, but they sent the 2024. They received a 2024 seventh round pick in exchange. I believe it was to Houston, or was it Tennessee?
Tennessee
for offensive tackle Leroy Watson.
There you go. You just wanted to squeeze in a fifth one on here,
got
right?
One more.
At least I knew the movie this time.
I was trying to avoid the Star Wars one. I literally Googled fifth movies, and that was the only one this is basically the Titans saying, you know, we didn't need that pick anyway, so we'll see what happens. And the guy wasn't going to make the Browns roster probably, so yeah. There you go. Get you a lottery ticket later on. All right, Shane, before we bring on our guest tonight, I'm giving you a chance now. Call your shot. What positions, what draft picks are traded in the top 10 next Thursday?
All right. So I'll preface this by saying I don't think any of these are traded for a team to come up for a quarterback. I don't think a team trades up for a quarterback in the top 10, at the very least. But I do think we see a trade at 5. I think the Angeles Chargers will move down to a team that wants Malik Nabers, most likely, and wants a top receiver in this draft. And then I think we see number 9. I think the Chicago Bears need more than 4 picks in this draft. So those are my two. I think those are going to be the two spots that we see trades happen. But I think we could see more than that, but I'm going to call my shot with those two.
I will also call my shot and say pick 3 is traded, which thus means pick 6 is traded. I think pick 5 is traded.
Pick seven ends up getting traded as well. So four draft spots change in the top 10.
But not nine. You think the Bears are going to stick?
I think the Bears stay.
All right. Interesting. So, yeah, no, it's fun. Pick three. I just don't think the Patriots can move out of three and pass on a quarterback.
We'll see.
We'll see, though. Anything could happen.
All right. So, we got a special guest tonight who knows a lot more about the ins and outs of the NFL than we do, Shane. So, let's bring him out here. He is a contributor to NFL.com and one of the best in the business. He's our man, Eric Edholm. Eric, man, how you doing?
What's going on, fellas? How are you?
Man, Eric, we're doing great. We're less, little over a week away from getting this thing started, all this hard work and stuff we do, getting ready for this, and we get to see it pay off.
It's a great time to be a draft fan. There's an anxiety, right? Like, you want to get to the draft week, but we think about it so much. We put so much time in it. It's worth the wait in the end. I'm wearing my Lions jersey that I scored at the resale shop down the street for $5. I'm headed to Detroit. I'm excited about that. So figured I'd, and I had a shirt underneath it that was roughly Hawaii blue. What are they, Honolulu blue, something like that. I forget what the official name is. I'm here. Fire away. What do we got going on?
Well, Eric, in honor of you being our favorite Chicago resident that we have on the show, I'm wearing my CM Punk, one of Chicago's.
Oh, nice. Okay.
T-shirt. Very cool. There. I was in Chicago in September. I was trying to ask you the Senior Bowl. We couldn't really connect again after.
Yeah.
What is your go-to local deep dish spot?
So this is a complicated answer. There's like three or four answers to this, right? I contend there's different variations of deep dish. Like, true Chicagoans will tell you that deep dish is tourist food. I actually like it. I have no problem with people who eat it. It's different than regular pizza. It's an experience. You know, they perfected it. It's a thing. I'm in support of it. If you're in the city, to me, the art of pizza, you're not going to be able to find it very easily. It's in like a little strip mall in the western, sort of about 2 miles west and north of downtown. So that's a really good one for like more kind of traditional deep dish. And then there's Pequod's, which is kind of a cool little hole-in-the-wall pizza joint in, I guess you'd say, Lincoln Park. Yeah, I'm trying to think what neighborhood that is. But it's a good go-to spot. They purposely burn the cheese on the outside, so it kind of gives it this little crackly crust. I mean, it takes forever. You have to wait like 9 hours for a pizza. But, you know, if you like eat a meal while you're there, you're fine, you know.
Well, the next time I'm in Chicago again, I will look those two places up.
Yes. For sure.
All right. So let's get into the real business here. We know who's going number one.
Yes.
Caleb Williams going to Chicago. That's a done deal.
That's happening.
We know Washington staying put and drafted a quarterback. We don't know which one. We have educated guesses, but we don't know which one. So my question is, who ultimately trades up or drafts the third and or fourth quarterbacks?
I heard you guys making your shots before I came in, and I thought Shane was onto something, and I thought Brian, you were onto something too. I think there's a mixture of the two. If I had to shoot my shot, it would be somewhere kind of in the middle. I mean, I don't know that there's this like flurry of trade activity involving quarterbacks, but I do think there's one team that's more motivated than others, and I think the Minnesota Vikings. I shouldn't say more. They're more heavily armed, I guess, is what, you know, motivated now that they've built up their arsenal of picks, right? Or they have more heavy hitting picks, right? You know, it's a really good situation. I was listening to the conference call that Daniel Jeremiah had, people calling, you know, media folks asking their questions about prospects and teams and everything. And he said a really interesting thing to me. He said, there's no quarterback needy team that has a better quarterback, you know, environment than the Minnesota Vikings. And he kind of hinted that, you know, the players, the agents, like everybody wants to go to Minnesota because they know how hot that spot is. So I think Minnesota is certainly hearing that as well and knowing, well, you know, Sam Darnold can only take us so far, I think. And this is kind of their chance to strike. And if Arizona's willing to do kind of what they did last year when they moved down and then back up, because I think they do want to try to get a crack at one of those receivers. I don't know that. This might just my guess, but then you might see some activity at four. But, yeah, I don't know that New England can move off three. I think that was a lot of showmanship, or, you know, like a lot of it was a little bit of a performance, kind of making it seem like they will take this boatload of picks. I don't know if the boatload's coming. I really don't. I'm not sure. And I think they're going to realize that I think they would prefer Daniels, but I think they would take Drake May. That's my gut as we sit, you know, 7 days out or whatever, 8 days, whatever it is.
So what about the next tier quarterbacks, Eric? You know, we've heard kind of the JJ McCarthy hype train ramp up, and now you're seeing mock drafts with Michael Penix Jr. from Washington and Bo Nix from Oregon getting drafted in the first round. It could be six quarterbacks. You know, we haven't seen four quarterbacks go in the top nine in the modern NFL era. Is that going to happen here? And do we see more than four go in the first round?
Yeah, I mean, I think what happens in a situation like this when there are more quarterbacks, you know, like second rounders turn into first rounders turn into top 15 picks and so on and so forth. As we get closer to the draft, the whole thing just seems to condense, right? Whatever grade you put on McCarthy when you just watched his tape, you know, let's say 10 minutes after the national championship game, it's probably not going to be the same as where he ends up going in the draft. And I think that applies to Penix too, and Nix and all these guys for that very reason. I think there's just this anxiety. It's like a game of musical chairs, and you don't want to be the one without a chair and then have to explain, well, you know, like if you're the Giants and you've gone on this quarterback tour, right? And Joe Shane's been at every college football game involving a top 100 quarterback this year. I mean, it's, you know, he was front and center at the Senior Bowl watching those guys. They brought him in for visits. They made it clear, like John Mayer didn't try to hide the fact that, yes, I have signed off on the fact that you're free to draft a quarterback. Does that point them towards McCarthy, or does that, you know, I mean, what's, is that just sort of, do they just throw the pick and stuff out, like they almost like the previous regime did with Daniel Jones, just say we need the player, you know? So I think that's kind of happened a little bit, and now I suspect that after Penix's health has gotten some better reviews after he tested well athletically at his pro day, you know, a team like the Raiders or, you know, I mean, I suppose the Vikings, if they can't move up, you know, they've got to be interested. I'll throw one sleeper. You know, somebody mentioned this today of all days, and I hadn't even thought – I mean, I thought of it, but I kind of dismissed it. What about the Seahawks? They have not made a peep. They were all on the quarterback train all last year, you know, taking selfies at the pro days. Ah, you know, well, okay. They didn't take one, and they let Drew Lock go. Geno Smith started kind of crumbling a little bit. I know they traded for Sam Howell. I know they did. But Ryan Grubb's the OC. Is he a threat to take Penix at 16? And does that make the Raiders anxious at 13? How do they play it? You know, I mean, it's just assuming he's even there, you never know, right? So I don't know if it's going to be quite that dramatic, but it does feel like there's this anxiety built up where teams keep figuring out that they have to keep going higher and higher with their landing spot there.
I know they also had Spencer Rattler in for a visit last week. So they're definitely doing their due diligence on those quarterbacks. And I wonder if maybe they think they can – maybe they're a target to trade up towards the top of the second round if Penix falls out. I thought about that as well.
Yep.
So
– well, one of these teams, like just a quick point, like I think you're right. I think Rattler – and believe it or not, like Devin Leary's gotten some love. I didn't really love him when I watched him, to be honest. I loved him 2 years ago. You know, it was almost like the Purdy thing. Like Brock Purdy, I loved his sophomore year, hated his senior year tape for the most part, you know. And now Devin Leary, same thing. When he played well, you know, I liked it. When he didn't, I didn't. So, but NFL teams see something in that guy. I don't know. But anyway, one of those guys, Pratt, Rattler, or maybe even Devin Leary for that matter, they're going to end up being like the consolation prize to the team that doesn't able to get one of those top six guys.
Those that always generally works out when you end up with the consolation prize at the quarterback.
Although Dak Prescott was a consolation prize. I mean, you know, for what he is, right? He's, you know, but yes, more often than not, yeah.
Okay, so let's throw one out here for you, Eric. Who is a name that we're not seeing in the first round right now that ends up in the first round that just takes everybody off guard?
Yeah, yeah, like Chiefs taking the K-State kid or something, right? I mean, yeah. Marshawn Nealand, maybe. I mean, that's kind of an interesting one. I mean, I don't know that I would take him in the first round, but top 50, I would, you know, I mean, I think that makes sense or whatever. I mean, he's a well-built kid. In fact, he's, I don't know if he's George Karlaftis, but he's sort of that style of end, I guess. And, you know, a well-built guy with some juice, nonstop motor, all that. I mean, I think he, you know, he grew on me at the Senior Bowl. The more I watched him, you know, little flashes here and there, and then he started kind of figuring out a little bit. I guess you'd say Johnny Newton would be a surprise at this. I don't know if he would. I don't know. Are people putting him in the first round of mocks? I don't know. I haven't really like looked around recently, but
I mean, they should. I think they should too.
Right. Like,
I don't know what happened there.
Well, the injury, I mean, I think just not being able to work out until very recently, you know, but yes, I mean, like the tape's great. And the thing is like, it's like Byron Murphy, Johnny Newton, and then, you know, a pretty good drop that to me anyway. I mean, I don't think the Clemson kid is amazing. You know, there are other guys who are interesting. I think Mason Smith's interesting. He's going to end up going higher than people expect, not first round, but and I'm supposed to talk to him on Friday, actually. But yeah, let me think. Some other guys who are Jordan Morgan. I don't know if that's a shock or not. You know, kind of a borderline day one, day two. I would say he's in that mix. Yeah, I mean, it's like with D tackle. I mean, the reason I mentioned Newton is just like the teams are dying to get impactful ones. I mean, they're hard to find. That's why you saw the Bears reach for a couple of them last year. And, you know, I mean, I thought it was – I kind of panned it at the time, but now I kind of get it, right? I mean, you have to have better than replacement level or street level free agents at that position, right? And so many teams, because of injury and, you know, free agency defections, they end up having to line up with those guys. So maybe that helps Chris Jenkins. Maybe that helps Darius Robinson if they think he can be like a Armstead type of guy. But – yeah, that's a lean position. I would say maybe the only other surprise would be Ladd McConkey, maybe. I mean, I think he's, you know, done enough to show that he's healthy again. He was darn productive when he was out there, and you know, he might go in the top 32.
What's a position, Eric, that you like? Not necessarily the best position in the draft, but is there a position group that you like in this draft that you think will have a good NFL career as a whole, or that you've just been intrigued by through this process?
Yeah. I mean, I obviously everyone's talking about the tackles, and I think for good reason. I mean, it's a really good group. Now there's some pitfalls there, right? It's not like, Oh, you just say, oh, well, there's X number of first rounders, you know, 6, 7, whatever the number is. And therefore, it's going to be great. As we know, you know, it doesn't always work out that way. But the sheer mass of some of these guys is pretty wild. And some of the arm lengths and heights that we're seeing and these sort of freaky traits that, you know, some years we're having to kind of have those conversations where we talk ourselves into a guy. Okay, he's only got 33.5-inch arms, but, you know, I'll ride and die with him, you know. And this year – yes, there are some guard tackle debates and maybe even, you know, center tackle, center guard debates. But I think just the you know, you start with a guy like Joe Alt, right? NFL bloodlines, dude's almost 6'9", but he doesn't play high, you know, and he's very athletic, former tight end. You have Fashanu, who might have been a top 5 or 10 pick last year had he come out, you know, and You know, Fulaga comes on this season and looks like a first-round pick, and you have this freaky traits guy in Amarius Mims, and you have Tyler Guyton, who has all the ability in the world, but, you know, still an incomplete picture. So there's some pitfalls for sure. There's some, especially with like Mims and Guyton, I think those are the two with the biggest risk-reward ratio. Alt to me is at worst going to be, you know, Mike McGlinchey plus or whatever. I mean, he's going to be good. You know, I think he'll be better than that, but I'd feel pretty good about his floor. Fashanu, I'm not quite as wild about as everybody, but I obviously see why he's regarded as a top 20 pick and, you know, some of these other guys too. So that position, I know it doesn't always work out, but I think you have the right mix of talent, traits, athleticism, experience a little lacking in some cases, you know, even with all, you know, he's a 2.5 year starter, never played the position in high school, but I'm not too worried about it. I think that group overall, even though it's a little top heavy, is going to end up being really good.
It's a good group. It's a good group.
All right, Eric, I know you're a Mizzou guy.
Lean into me, baby. Let's hear it.
we presume Darius Robinson is the top Mizzou guy in this class.
I think so. Yep.
Rank everybody else.
Okay. We've got Ennis Rakestraw after that. If he was healthy, you know, he probably would have run a little better. You know, he missed the Florida game, missed the bowl game. Couldn't really, you know, had sort of a so-so pro day, but good player. I don't, you know, good tackler out there. I mean, I like him, but I think he's more of a second or third rounder. And then I would say probably next in line would be, Chris Abrams-Drain. I had to think for a second. Yeah. He's probably your, you know, possible top 100 pick. You know, he just made my top 100. So he'd be somewhere in that, you know, mid-third to mid-fourth range, I would say. He's a little small. We can't expect him to cover bigger guys. He was the one thing he didn't really do well in college. But really athletic guy, return skills. So I think he's possible third rounder. Tyron Hopper is probably going a little higher than I think he should. I didn't think he played great last year. Thought he looked a little slow, a little sluggish. I don't know how healthy he was, but, you know, he was such a playmaker the year before. And I almost wonder, like, was he getting some lucky bounces on some things and maybe the ball kind of just ended up in his hands a couple times, maybe. But he's interesting. You know, he's a hitter too. He's got some skill in that regard. Then you're probably talking about Cody Schrader. Am I forgetting? J.C. Carlisle is kind of the wild card. I thought he had kind of a so-so year myself. You watch the LSU game, it's kind of ugly in the second half, and he just out of position, you know, overrunning plays, still takes questionable angles to the ball, in my opinion. But he's got some pop and he's got some juice, and you could see it when he first started as a sophomore. You think, who's that kid? Who's number one? Right. That. So with his, he probably had the best pre-draft of any Mizzou guy. I mean, working out the way he did at a linebacker weight, it's crazy. So he's been my biggest surprise. Cody Schrader's been my biggest disappointment just because he didn't test well and he got hurt at the combine. And, you know, Cody was never going to be an underwear Olympics guy. You know, he's going to have to make it the hard way, just like he did at you know, going from Truman State to Mizzou. So, but I think he'll, you know, a team like the Rams or a team like the Browns, I could see appreciating his style and Chargers for that matter. They're going to run the ball 40 times a game or whatever. I mean, I could see Jim loading up on backs. But the question is whether Big Boy Mevis gets picked in the late seventh.
Yes, I mean, I'm glad we got a Mevis shout out. I love
it. I would, yeah. I mean, for the bigger set around the world, like us big guys, you know, like you root for dudes like that. You know, even if you're not a Mizzou guy, you're just like, that's a big kicker, and I like him, and I want him to do well. And especially after the nightmare season he had a year ago, he was really good this year. So just yeah. So I think I might. Oh, and Javon Foster. I forgot Foster. Probably. Now I'm like a third round pick now. I didn't, you know, like I never was blown away by him, but he clearly has the dimensions. You watch his reps at the Senior Bowl, right and left tackle, by the way, not just left. But he looked pretty good. So they had a good year, good class this year.
Yeah, I got a third on Foster.
Yeah.
I actually have him higher than Hopper on my board. I'm a big Chris Edwards Drain guy. Just his ball skills and his versatility outside and nickel, I think he's I think he's going to outplay his draft position wherever he gets. I'm a big, big fan of Chris Edwards Drain.
People went after him this year. They said, we're not going to mess with Rake Straw that much. We're going to try to go after Chris a little bit downfield. And Tennessee got him once. Florida got him once, but, you know, with four interceptions and, you know, at least two plays on the ball every single game, it felt like, and being a reliable punt returner, I mean, he was really good this year. He is springy. I mean, like, he does have some vertical to him, but at 5'11", 170, he's just going to, you know, you don't want him covering those longer receivers.
Real quick, Eric, Jimmy in the chat wants to know, are you cooking with Brady in 24?
Yeah, Brady Cook's an interesting debate. I had an agent of all people call me and was like, what do you think of this guy? I'm like, well, my opinion of him's changed quite dramatically, I would say, from what we saw. He was playing with a bad shoulder all year in 2022. And that's why all his deep balls just fluttered and, you know, just didn't look right. I thought, man, this guy just doesn't have a big league arm. But then all of a sudden, the K-State game, he comes out firing. I thought, well, he could throw it better than I realized. Now, to me, you have to hold his hand a little bit. You have to really drill into his head. This is your first read. This is your second read. Outside of the running, I don't know that he has a whole lot of creative juices. I mean, like, he's a quality runner. You know, he's a big kid, and he runs pretty darn well and all that. But to me, it's like when things break down, his decision making gets a little, you know, you start getting a little tweaky watching him. So, and Luther Burden makes him look pretty good, and Cody Schrader made him look pretty good, and a good offensive line. He's going to have a great line this year. They've got like four guys they're using at running back, and his top four receivers are back. Five receivers are back. I mean, he's going to put up numbers, and if he doesn't, then, you know, then there's a problem.
So, Eric, with the new kickoff rule coming into play here pretty recently, do you think teams are going to value return guys more in this draft on day three? Do you think we see maybe some players we didn't expect to get drafted that have some of the special teams ability get drafted, you know, and how quickly have teams been able to, I don't know, make this transition to know what they need?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, some of the backs could really help, like Bucky Irving, Trey Benson. I'm trying to think of some other guys that Will Shipley, I think, as well, too. You know, so some of those type of guys, you know, for a position that sometimes gets watered down, obviously that's a nice little extra boost. I mean, who was the first free agent who signed within minutes of the rule passing? Like, we had people on phones waiting for it to be passed. It was Cordarrelle Patterson. Now, you know, I mean, obviously – receiver at one point, but it's essentially a running back now. So, you know, that gave me hope. I'm a running back guy. I love, you know, seeing those guys get their glory when they can these days. And you know, I'm a big Cordarrelle fan. I love having guys like that in the game. They're X factors, they're difference makers in you know, this specialized role, but they're so good at it. Why would we deny those kind of players, these plays? So I'm glad they brought the play back on some level, right? We have to get used to it and all that. But, you know, I talked to a special teams coach at the college level who was asking me, he's like, man, I'm thinking that if you're not gap sound on those things, like if you don't have your lanes figured out, you have one guy and the returner just happens to be in the right place, he could break those. I mean, so we're going to see some scores next year. And I think that does impact the draft. So all those guys who had kick return ability that we kind of used to overlook the last few years is that's been cycled out of the NFL game, or not overlook, but put less credence towards. Now it's like a little gold star. So, yeah, I think all those guys, and there are others too, but obviously the fast guys who have that kind of ability with the ball in their hands, whether they're defense or offense, and you now have extra plays per game where they're on the field, you bet. I think we'll see an impact of some sort.
I mean, it's especially apropos in the year that Devin Hester's going into the
perfect
Hall of Fame, right? I mean, we bring back the return game, make the return game a thing again. All right, last question, Eric, and we'll let you go, or more of a statement, if you will.
Okay.
What of all the rumors and smoke you've seen in the last few weeks, what do you believe the most?
Yeah, that's a great question. Does it have to be something on the kind of super spicy, outrageous level, or is it like, I mean, DJ had a pretty good one today that he passed on. I'll just start with that one as I kind of think of something else that I've heard. He mentioned Byron Murphy being a possible top 10 pick for the very same reasons I think that I was saying with Newton, you know, like after those two guys, right? And if you're strictly looking at the edge rush position to help your pass rush, I think you're doing it wrong. And I think, you know, that's the kind of thing where, you know, maybe Atlanta says, hey, you know, I mean, Grady Jarrett's getting up there. We need to, it'd be great to get a successor. Maybe you put both guys on the field like the Rams did. They had, you know, those two smaller guys on the field occasionally together. And, you know, it can work in those passing situations. So, you know, I could see that being interesting. I mean, I'm trying to think of a good one that has a little bit of sizzle to it. I mean, I guess what I had heard coming out of the combine is what's being, I mean, there was a tweet a few weeks ago. I went on radio in Washington and I said, look, everyone's saying Jaden Daniels to the Commanders. That's just what teams think. I don't know if it's right or wrong. And they, you know, I had fans chiding me and, oh my God, that's not true. It's going to be Drake May. Well, it's hard to find people who think it's May now. Right. So, I would say that Daniels feels like a lock there. I don't know if that's exactly the spicy level you're looking for. Let's see. Let me try to think of a good one. I think Brian Thomas is going kind of high. I think he's going to go somewhere in that, you know, 10 to 15 range. I don't know if other people are on that at all, but you know, like I think he's closer to the top three than he is to the next tier, in my opinion.
Fantastic.
That's good. That's awesome.
Yep. Eric, man, we always love having you on, and I always love to see you Senior Bowl. Tell everybody where they can find all this up-to-date stuff and get to find it.
Yeah, head on over to NFL.com, NFL Media. I won't be doing much on air, I don't think. Not that I'm aware of yet, but I will be in Detroit, you know, repping the Barry jersey. Had honor an overlook city sometimes. You know, they get pushed to the side a little bit. So Detroit's all right in my book. Pick by pick analysis rounds 2 through 7. If I have hands left, I'll be amazed. But please click on it. Make it worth it. Make my pain and suffering worth it. So, and I've got my mock coming up soon. I don't know exactly when. I have to finish it by noon on Friday. So I think Monday. I don't want to overpromise, but I think that's right.
Awesome. We look forward to it, Eric, man. You're the best. And thanks again for coming on.
You got it, guys. Good hopping on. Good seeing you.
That was Eric Edholm from NFL.com. He's great, and we always love having him on. I think it's the third straight year we've had him on.
Yeah, I think it's third year. He's always generous with his time for, you know, being big time, man. He's a big time. So I always appreciate him coming on, and he's always very honest and candid, which I love.
Yep, can't beat it. Good stuff there from Eric. I don't think that's salty or spicy at all. I think we as all assume at this point Jaden Daniels is going to be a Commander, right?
Yeah. I think it was just like, hey, you know, this is the smoke and this is real, right? And that's what you asked. And I think here's the thing. I think next week we're going to hear, you know, I tweeted and I tweet every year, like, once we hit a week before the draft is when you start getting the BS flying. Yeah. I bet we hear, nope, Washington's taking Drake May at number two, taking J.J. McCarthy at number two, right? Like, we're going to get that. People are going to start doubting Jaden Daniels.
You know, there was a line that he said just now that I thought, and I've heard this from other people saying, maybe you said it, Shane, that the best information you get is right after the combine. And it's like, that's when you hear the stuff that inevitably becomes true, is like right after the combine, because that's when everybody's been around each other for the last time before they hit the pro day circuit. And after that, you just start hearing a bunch of bull.
No, I think it's fair. I think Eric actually said that last year on the, I feel like we asked him that, and I think that was it. So you're probably right. That would be, I wish, you know, we had the time. That'd be something to track, you know, at some point over the years and see.
All right. Shane, you ready to have some fun?
Yes.
All right. Circa Sports, I think that's who it is, at Circa, C-I-R-C-A, posted a graphic with their position over-unders for, I don't know, it's like 40 players. So, Shane, we're about to go lightning round here.
Ooh, and okay.
If you pick the one that has the higher odds or the plus odds, I'll let you know.
Okay. I haven't seen these, so I don't know what it is.
Lightning round, over, under, on draft positions. And they go in position order here, it looks like. So we'll start at the quarterbacks. J.J. McCarthy, 5.5.
Over.
Michael Penix Jr., 32.5.
Over.
Bo, that's plus 150, by the way.
Plus 150 for Penix to go in the second round.
Bo Nix, 32.5.
I already have hammered the over on that, betting wise. So I'm a proponent the quarterbacks fall further than we think. And I mean, I can I say I think it's more likely Bo Nix is a third rounder than a first rounder. That's spicy.
That's a take. Spencer Rattler, 86.5.
I think I'm losing my top 100 bet on Spencer Rattler with you.
Have you made peace with that?
Good. I think I'm making it. Yeah, you know, never know. Maybe you can fall, but that's a good number. I'm actually going to go under because I think whoever misses out on the top six quarterbacks, you know, Seattle, you mentioned, had him in. So
Giants as well. Had him in today. The line is the same both ways. It's minus 115.
A good number.
Either or.
It's a good number for him. Ultimately. So I like that. What else we got?
All right. Last quarterback, Michael Pratt, 165.5. That puts him in the fifth round.
I'll go under as well. I feel like he's pretty comfortably in the fourth. Maybe even sneaks in the top 100 wouldn't overly surprise me.
All right. You ready for some running back, Shane?
Yeah, running backs are going to be fun.
Jonathan Brooks, 56.5.
56.5. Ooh. I think I'm going to go over on that one. For him, man, that's doubt. Like, I feel like that's the pick, right? 56, like, is the pick with Dallas. I'm going to go over. I think over is safer.
Trey Benson, 63.5.
I think he should go under, but I'd probably bet over on that. I think it's probably best just to play it safe on these running backs going later.
Braylon Allen, 87.5.
They really like putting it at Dallas because they know Dallas is taking one of these guys. I think that's another good number. I'll say over on Allen as well. I think he could fall to the fourth round.
Blake Corum, 68.5.
68.5. That's New England. Interesting. 68.5. You know what? I'll go under for Corum. I wonder if we don't see like end of the second, early third, boom, boom, boom. See like Brooks, Corum, maybe even Benson, you know, going at that point.
Let's move on to wide receivers. Marvin Harrison Jr., 4.5.
Yeah, I still think it's under. It's basically like, do you think someone's trading up the floor like Eric talked about? Cardinals move down, move back up. But I think if someone's trading to four, I don't think – I think it's four Marvin Harrison Jr., so I'll say under.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I was looking at this wrong. The over line is on the top and the under's on the bottom. I'm sorry. So when I said plus 150 on Michael Penix, that was under.
That was under, okay. So that makes you feel a little better.
Okay, sorry. Sorry about that. I read because right. I noticed that because on now the Marvin Harrison, I'm seeing it. Over 4.5 is plus 295.
Yeah, let's switch this fair. I mean, I do think there's a chance Neighbors goes four over Harrison, and that might be the spot.
Malik Neighbors, 5.5.
Yeah, I mean, I'll still say under, even if it's not the Chargers, like I predicted. I think someone's moving up four Neighbors ultimately in that spot.
Adunze, 8.5.
I'm gonna say under. I think he goes in the top eight picks.
So you're thinking we're gonna go quarterback, wide receiver.
I think it's gonna be pretty darn close to that. Yeah. I think that's what we get. I think we get three quarterbacks and three receivers, and then things open up from there.
Plus 110 on the over 8.5. So yeah, a lot of minus 140 on the under. So yeah. They're with you on that one. Interesting, based off what Eric just said, Brian Thomas Jr., 17.5.
I think under. I'm going to go with Eric. I'm going to say under because you have just a row of the Saints, the Colts, the Jaguars all right there. I feel like one of them is taking Brian Thomas.
In that vein of the Jaguars, I find it really interesting that also at 17.5 is Adonai Mitchell.
That is interesting. I'm going to say over on Adonai Mitchell. I'm just not a big Adonai Mitchell guy. I don't think he should be a first-round pick. I think he will be. But I think that's where, as we talked about the Bills before the show a little bit, like I think at 28, that makes – like Adonai Mitchell probably – I think he's going to be more late 20s than mid-teens.
Speaking of the Bills, Xavier Worthy, 28.5.
It's a good one. I'm torn. I think he has one of the biggest draft ranges. Like, could go top 20, could fall to the late second. Like, neither of those things would surprise me. So I will take the over on Worthy, I think.
Ladd McConkey, 32.5.
I'm going over. I don't think Ladd McConkey is going to go in the first round. It might happen, but I'm just not here for it.
We're going to test the range on this one. Luke McCaffrey, 131.5.
131.5. Let me see as I was plotting out my mock. I have him, I'm going to say under. I think someone takes a shot in that fourth round. I think I'm probably going to have him under in my final mock. In the early fourth.
I like the over on this one. Troy Franklin, 41.5.
Yes. Yeah. As much as I like Troy Franklin, I'll take the over on that one.
Keon Coleman, 48.5.
Yeah, man, what a ride Keon Coleman's been. I feel like he's gone down now. Daniel Jeremiah mentioned it was a potential first round pick, and he's kind of coming back. I'll go under. I think the top half of round two. You know, Carolina, New England, Washington. I think there's a lot of teams that that could take them.
Roman Wilson, 67.5.
Oh, 66. So that's right in the beginning of round three. I'm going to say over. I think he falls a little bit because he's such a special, specific player for a specific scheme. Might fall a little bit.
Xavier Leggett, 44.5.
That's going too. I'll go under as well. I think Keon Coleman, Leggett, you have traditional X receivers that are lacking, as they always are in the draft. And they get, we saw with Jonathan Mingo, get pushed up. I think those guys get pushed up.
Moving on to tight ends, Brock Bowers, 11 and a half.
I think I'm going to go under. I think someone in the top 10 takes him. You know, obviously everyone's mocking him to the Jets. I'm probably going to stick with that. Tight ends are all, to me, I don't know if you agree, Brian, they're always the toughest position for me to mock in the first round. Like, I never know who is willing to take a tight end, who's not.
I've come around that even at the sim, because I did it with the simulator. I had the Bengals picking him in my final Bengals mock. He's not going to get to 18. I just think the Jets in win now mode, I just feel like that's a good spot.
It makes a ton. If Adunze's gone, then yeah, right. I think it really makes a lot of sense.
Ben Sinnott, 64 and a half.
You know, I love me some Ben Sinnott.
He's now tight end two for me. I don't know if you knew that, noticed that or not.
No, I didn't. I think it makes sense. I still have Sanders. I still think Sanders goes above him, but I think it's close. I'll say under. I think he goes round two.
Jatavion Sanders, 50 and a half.
Jatavion Sanders.
This is the Bengals. This is saying the Bengals pick him at 49. That's right. What they're setting this up with.
Which makes sense. I don't know if the I think the Bengals, maybe they just don't care about
tight end. I've kind of started to make peace with this. I don't like it.
Yeah. But I wonder, maybe they don't care about tight end enough still to take one, even round two. I'll go over. I think he'll maybe go soon after that.
Only four tight ends on this list. Cade Stover was the other. 100 and a half.
Oh, I'll take the over on that one. I think he's day three guy.
Or two. All right, moving on to the offensive lineman now. Troy Fautanu, 16 and a half.
Troy Fautanu, 16 and a half. Oh, yeah, what a spot. I'll go under. I do think Seattle takes him. I think it's just too good a fit.
Jackson Powers Johnson, 30 and a half.
I'm going to take the over. So we always see centers fall, and I feel like Graham Barton's probably going to fall a little further than we think, and then ultimately that means Jackson Powers Johnson maybe falls to the second round.
It's so weird because that position is so valuable, but yet for some reason it gets downplayed in the draft. And it's like, I'll never grasp that concept of how that works out. Olu Fashanu, 14 and a half.
I'm going to go under. I say we trust the eval, right? Like, I think he's really good. You think he's really good. Let's trust the eval. I think a team takes him higher than we think.
Joe Alt, 7.5.
Yeah, I feel like it's got to be under, or
this is overwhelmingly under. They set that line as -300.
Because I feel like the other cases are like, oh, maybe goes five of the Chargers, maybe even six of the Giants, like six, seven. I'll feel like they could be Alt picks. And if he doesn't go there, where's he go? In that
back scenario I had with New England, going back to six, I had them take an Alt at six.
Which makes sense.
Talise Fuaga, 12 and a half.
I'm going to say over, but I think it's close.
I thought this was an interesting number. A guy who we've had fall to the 30s and out of the first round in our last two staff mocks, J.C. Latham at 14 and a half. I think yeah. So we got this one wrong, Shane.
Yeah, I think so. I'll still take the over there. I mean, really, it's the Raiders and the Saints. Do they take an offensive lineman? Then I think Latham's up there. But, yeah, I feel like Latham and Fuaga are probably a step above in the NFL's eyes from the next batch.
The other one maybe we're too high on here is Amarius Mims, who they've set it at 24 and a half.
Oh, I think he goes under that. Even – if you had said 20 and a half, 19 and a half, then I'd be like, maybe. But I feel like Steelers and then the Cowboys, worst case, I feel like one of those two takes them. Bengals at 18. You know, there's a lot of possibilities for Mims.
I'm going to have to get Brad to cut this up so it makes it easier to go back and find this, because I feel like this is something we're going to need to come back to.
Yeah.
Graham Barton, you mentioned, may fall a little bit. 23.5.
Ooh. I was hoping they'd give me a the earlier number there. I'm going to go over. Is that plus odds? The over?
That here? Is plus odds. Plus 160.
Right. I think Dallas at 24 feels like a good spot for him.
Minus 205 on the under there. All right, let's move on to the edge. Dallas Turner, 9.5. Man.
This is one of the situations where, like, I want to pick someone different for the Falcons, but I know I shouldn't in my final lock. Like, I should just go with the chalk. It's like
you've almost let Eric talk you into Byron Murphy here.
I
wrote it down before we even had Eric on, because I'd heard other people talking about it. I've had Quindon Mitchell there too.
Yeah.
But it feels like
Arnold.
We're all going to circle back around to Dallas Turner.
Like I did it with Bijan last year. I was like, I'm not going to put him there, and it bit me. So I'll take the under. I think they're going to take Turner.
Jared Verse, 14.5. So this is the Saints.
Yeah, I'm going to go under on that one, too. I think Vegas, I think there's a lot of possibilities there.
Laiatu Latu, 17.5.
You love him. I love him. I'm still going to take the over. I think there's just too much risk for him to fall further than he should. And I think he'll clown everyone and be the best edge in this class.
I think he goes no further than 19. I think that's his floor.
I think his floor is later.
You think, you know, so?
When you talk about a medical, like, the floor can fall out into the 20s. I mean, I'd say 26, maybe Tampa.
Man. Speaking of 26 in Tampa, Chop Robinson, 25.5.
Yeah, maybe I'm just lower on edge rushers than I should be, because it's such a premium position, but I'm going to go over. I mean, Tampa, Philly, like, there's some possibilities on that under, but I also think the over's pretty good too with Detroit and, even early round two. I wonder if Chop Robinson, with the injury stuff, I think he could fall.
Speaking of Detroit, Darius Robinson, 29.5.
I'm gonna take the over. I think I'm leaning to leaving him out of my first round. I actually like Eric's call. Marshawn Nyland might be the guy I plug in there instead.
Wow. Last edge is Braylon Trice, 49.5.
I'm going to go over. My last mock, I had him pretty early. A couple people called me out for it, rightfully so. Yeah, I think
that testing was rough.
The testing was rough. I think you're right. So I'm going to go over. I think maybe he even goes in the third.
Byron Murphy, 16.5.
I'll run with the under. I think someone's staying. I am very much considering putting him at 9 to the Bears.
Johnny Newton, 18.5.
Bengals, baby. I don't think he falls out of the first round. I mean, I really don't. Either.
He's too good.
He's too good.
That's my whole thing with Latu. It's like he should be too good to fall.
Yeah. But, you know, it's talking about obviously very different injuries, but you're talking about injuries. I'll take the over here, but I do think Johnny Newton goes in the first round.
Braden Fisk, 49.5.
We both like Braden Fisk too. I'm going to take the over here as well. I wonder if so I think we could see a Mike Hall, Mason Smith, you know, going
upside
him. Yeah. Even Ruco Rorio is younger than Fisk. And that might sway people.
Only two linebackers. Edger and Cooper, 54.5.
You know, I love me some Edger and Cooper. I'm going under. I think that Cleveland spot of 54, obviously, why would they put this here? Makes a ton of sense. You got Philly earlier than that. And as I've said before, I think, you know, I think he could be a shocking first-round pick, but probably that early to mid-second makes sense.
I am toying with the idea of mocking him in the first round, as high as 24.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, like, it's kind of a bold take on my part. I don't know if I'm going to be able to pull the trigger.
I don't either. Yeah. I've got multiple names written down there. It's like, I don't know if I'm pulling the trigger or not either, but I'm toying with the idea. Other linebacker, Peyton Wilson, 41.5. I'm going over just because of injuries as well.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that feels like a strong over. Like, I think we could see, again, age. I think we could see some of the younger, the three-year guys, Junior Colson, go above him, go ahead, you know, ahead of him.
Before we go to the corners, there's only one safety. Howard Newbin. And they've got 32.5.
Wow. I need a Circa account for this one. I'll put the mortgage.
It's minus 145.
Still, I'll put the mortgage the over.
There's no effing way a safety a two Raz is going in the first round. It's just not happening. It's not happening. The under was plus 115. I'm sorry. Yeah. The over was minus 145. I'm sorry. Under was plus 115.
Right. So that's not even a good under number. Like, at least give me in the 200s.
Yeah. Corners, Quinyon Mitchell, 13.5.
Whew. Man, I love Quinyon Mitchell. 13.5. So the Raiders good spot for him. I'm going to go over. I feel like 15 to the Colts feels good.
Feels good, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, you got to love that 9-plus Raz to the Colts in the first round.
Yes.
Terrion Arnold, 15.5.
That's so interesting to me that they have. Like, obviously, I have Mitchell higher. I think Arnold's going to go first. So I'll go under there. Like, I think if the Raiders take a corner, it'd be Arnold.
Even over money. Mitchell. Even money on the under. Over is minus 130.
Yeah. Fair. Interesting.
Cooper DeJean, 20.5.
Yeah, he's been pushing. I don't think the Steelers are super interested, so I'm going to go over. I guess Jacksonville's the one under fear, but I feel like, you know, Green Bay, the back half of Baltimore, et cetera, Kansas City even more likely.
I think if the Bengals consider corner at 18, it's because Mitchell or Arnold are on the board.
Right.
Outside of those two, I don't think they consider it at 18. Kool-Aid McKinstry, 28.5.
It's a good number on him. I'm going to lean I'm going to lean over. I guess it depends on if a team takes him over instead of Cooper DeJean. I think whichever one of those goes first will be under their number. Whichever one doesn't will be over their number.
Final. Two more here. Nate Wiggins, 26.5.
I'm going to go under. I think he's the clear cut corner three. I think some teams won't like him for size, but like I say, if he goes 20 to the Steelers, it wouldn't surprise me. Nate Wiggins.
And final, speaking of Missouri, we talked with Eric about them earlier. Enos Rakestraw, 48.5.
That's a good spot. Jacksonville, 48. I'm going to take the over. I'm not super confident in it, but I think Eric also mentioned the injuries. That he's had in his career, and it could push in late second. And I think the corner board of day two is going to be very wildly different from team to team.
That was good stuff there. There's some other draft props. I'm looking at Bovada right now, and they got some good stuff. I'm going to pick like two teams. First position drafted. And I'm going to go your Steelers here.
Okay.
Offensive line is minus 275.
Yeah.
So we're not making no money on that. So let's see what we can make.
No O line. Let's do it.
Wide receiver plus 300. Quarterback plus 500. Defensive line edge plus 1200.
I think it's corner. I think corner is if the offensive tackle run hits real early, like Mims is gone, Latham's gone, then I think Nate Wiggins is the backup plan.
You know what? Screw it. Let's just we'll just do one other team. We'll do the Bengals.
All right.
Again, minus number here on the offensive line is minus 175. Okay. Wide receiver, second, plus 400. This is Brian Thomas Jr. That's the only wide receiver in play here.
Yeah, that's
defensive line edge is plus 430. Corner is plus 500. If Brock Bowers falls, tight end is plus 1200.
I mean, look, I probably sprinkle a little on tight end just for fun, but I think it's D-line. I think that's the best value here, right? D-line so edge. Yeah. You're getting a really good number. I feel like wide receivers are suckers, but I don't think they're not. You know, you've talked about you've been saying it from the beginning. T. Higgins is playing this year. He just said that. Everyone thought he'd get traded. So you know, you've been on it. I think D-line Newton does make a lot of sense. Or you know, they can go off the board with someone.
You're a Big Ten guy. Total Big Ten players drafted in round one, over under 5.5.
I got to think through. So we're certainly gonna have JJ McCarthy going round one. We're gonna have Marvin Harrison Jr. going round one. So that's definitely two.
Fashanu
will definitely go. No other tackles. Interior line, nothing. Edge wise, Chop Robinson, I guess, before. I don't think we have a D lineman. Don't think we have a linebacker. Cooper DeJean is 5. And I think that's it. Yeah, so I'll go. It was 5.5, correct?
5.5.
I'll go under. I think it's pretty fair. We're not getting, it's the Tyler Newbin thing. Like, right. That's the sixth guy.
Johnny Newbin.
Okay. So yeah. So 5.5 is a good number. So yeah. Thanks. May coming to that in the chat. Then I guess I go over. I think Johnny Newton does go in the first round.
So. Over is minus 165. So yeah, that's probably where we're at on that one. All right. Here we go. There's a good number here. Neighbors v. Adunze. Adunze is getting plus 205 to get drafted higher.
I think it could happen. I think I want more juice to actually bet on it. No, I'm not sure 205 does enough for me.
Penix v. Nix. You just said Bo Nix is going in the third round.
Yeah, what's the numbers here?
Bo Nix is plus 125.
Okay, then so I will bet
Penix. Minus 165 is the Penix number.
I think even at one minus 165, it's probably a good bet.
Okay, here we go. Here's some good stuff here. Cornerbacks selected in round one, over under 5.5.
I mean, I think it's under
5. Yeah, under is way. There's no money to be made. It's minus 450. Plus 450.
Look, who we had someone, was it Jimmy in the YouTube chat mentioned he thinks Mike Sanders still could be a first round pick. If that happens, then there's your six. There's Big Ten's going way over. He's from Michigan. So there you go.
Not on the list here, but Jimmy also in the chat. Over under on the number of specialists drafted.
Ooh, Brian, this is your territory, I think, right?
I will set this at 2.5.
I will go over. I think that's an easy over for 2.5. I think Torrey Taylor is definitely getting drafted.
He's the only one I have a draftable grade on.
I think we could have upwards of 3 or 4 kickers taken in this draft. I mean, I like Harrison Meavis. We'll see if the NFL's as high on him. I think he's a borderline, but I like Josh McCarty from Stanford. I think Cameron Little from Arkansas. I think Will Reichard from Alabama. There's a lot of teams need kickers.
Speaking of Josh McCarty, and to tell you how far this Stanford program has fallen, he is the only Stanford player on our watch list that's over 1,100 strong. One Stanford player, and it's a kicker.
That's wild. There's no one else.
No one else.
Wow. Yikes.
Total offensive linemen in round one, over, under, 9.5.
9.5. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I feel like 6 tackles feels good. And then, like I said, I think the interior line will fall. I'm going to go under on that one.
Under gets you 1 plus 150.
That's interesting. Maybe I'm lower on the tackles. I don't know who I'm missing, but I mean, I think Alt, Fashanu, Latham, Fuaga, Mims, Guyton, and then maybe you get Graham Barton. Maybe you get Powers Johnson too, but even then, you're still under.
If you think Penix and Nix fall out of round one, then there's money to be made on the over under quarterbacks at 4.5, where the number is +130.
Yeah,
I like Roger Rosengarten. I don't like him in the first round.
He could. O-lineman, we saw. Who did the Patriots draft a couple years ago? The guard?
Cole Strange.
We're like, what is going on? So I think O-lineman is the position where you could see. As May said, Fatanu. I missed Troy Fatanu from Washington. He'll go in the first round. Yep. I think you're still approaching the under. Because I don't think Jackson Powers Johnson goes, so.
All right. Do you think there's any chance a running back goes in the first round?
Look, that was my hot take a couple weeks ago. I have since, I don't think it actually happens, you know, in my heart of hearts. But I think it's a possibility still.
+700, over half running back.
I'll sprinkle a little bit. Like, the odds are slim, and that's why it's +700.
There's apparently a better chance a safety goes in the first round. That's all Tyler Newbin.
Tyler Newbin hype, I guess.
Under half on that is +425 for the over.
I'd rather bet the running back.
Yep. So that's good stuff, man. That's going to do it for the draft props here. We've got a good amount of questions here, as we're running way long, but that's all right. We're going to go short next week, so it's all right. Question from Twitter from @whateva. Hi, guys. Can you address your GMs, maybe 2 offense, 2 defense for each round on day 3? I don't think we're going to get that deep in the weeds here, but let's go 1 for each round on day 3, Shane.
Okay, one
offense, gym, 1 defense.
1 offense, 1 defense per round. So
per round.
Okay. I think like round 4, gem wise, wide receiver, I'll go with receiver. I'm at Malik Washington out of Virginia. I think it's kind of that gonna be that early day 3 pick that really excels. We saw him excel this year. So I like him. Let's see, round 4 on the defensive side, I would go with maybe a good linebacker. Edifuan Olufoshio. Thank you. The linebacker from Washington. I like him a lot, and the testing was really good for round 4. Let's see, round 5, tackle-wise. I think offensive tackle be good there. Let's go Nathan Thomas from Louisiana. I like him as a possibility, a nice gem sleeper. I think he could be one of those weird starters that hits. Edge rusher. would be, I think, a good position. I like Eric Watts out of UConn. We've talked about on the show quite a bit as a nice sleeper. I think he goes earlier with that arm length than people have. Round six, I like some of the late round tight ends. Like, I think Eric Gall is an interesting tight end in round six. I think if he had been healthy, he would have went much higher. And then maybe Christian Boyd from Northern Iowa. It's one of the small school guys that I like a lot. And then round seven, it's kind of a crapshoot, I guess. You know, I like Jalen Coker, the wide receiver from Holy Cross. I think he kind of sneaks into the draft on that back end. And then, you know, a corner that I think sneaks in, you know, another small school guy that I like, we've talked about. I like Willie Drew out of Virginia State. I think he didn't test as well as I was hoping, but I think he still gets drafted.
One of the late round guys, I'm just going to give one that I'm all in on, sixth, seventh round, is one of the international pathway guys. And this is Giovanni Manu. I think he's from Tonga, played at British Columbia. I'm all in on. Dude's had like 13 or 14 visits. He's 6'8", like 350, but tested like crazy. I'm all in on this guy. I think he's going in the sixth round. I think at the latest.
Yeah, look, he could be one of those that goes like round four, and we're like, whoa, you know, what's going on? But that's he's super intriguing. I was, you know, trying to catch some film of there's a bunch out there of him in British Columbia, and I mean, he's balling people. Like it's impressive.
I mean, they've got two draftable tackles on that team. Theo Benaday, I think, maybe gets drafted late. He played at the Shrine.
Yeah. Yeah.
I missed this earlier somehow when we were talking about pizza, but Brian Lamb said Little Caesar's best pizza in Chicago.
Trolling. No, like Eric Donalumanati's fan. It's, you know.
I was hoping. Best salad dressing I've ever had in my life at that place, I'm just going to say. Brian did have a serious question. Is there a prospect that most of the media has slotted in the first round that might drop into day two?
Yeah, I think like I said before, I think Darius Robinson, you know, I've kind of had in the back end of round one. I feel like he's a mainstay in the back end of round one. I wonder if he falls a little bit because of the position fears, and ultimately if teams don't think he can play on the interior that well and see him more as an edge, then, you know, I'm not sure he goes in round one.
Yeah, I'm with that. I'm trying to skim through here, just looking. I don't know anybody off the top of my head. Maybe Kool-Aid falls out. I mean, maybe there's something to that. As Shane has a sneeze fit on the
other side. Sorry. Yeah. I could see Kool-Aid falling out. You know, he's had a roller coaster ride through this process. It's been a while, right? Man. Top corner to like he's not going around one at all, and now he's kind of back in there.
Tommy wants to know, what does McCarthy have that Penix doesn't? Youth and health.
Yeah, I mean, I mean the youth and not having too many injuries helps. I think also McCarthy is much better under pressure at, you know, you go back and watch that national championship, right? Like I know the Michigan ran the ball a lot, but you see when Penix is under pressure and he can't just sidestep it, like he struggles to get the ball out accurately and effectively. It's one thing that McCarthy on third down was really good at this year, was completing third down passes for first downs under pressure. Doesn't mean he's going to be a great quarterback, but I think that's what he has, why I'd rather have McCarthy. And Penix can run a 4.5. It's great, but he had 8 rushing yards this year. like it's not happening.
I think Penix is better than McCarthy. May says Robinson's such a classic back end tweener that never works. Got that Logan Hall feel.
It's fair. That's fair. Right? Logan Hall was, it wasn't the first pick of round two. So yep. That feels about right.
Tommy also wants to see your Steelers draft my man Xavier Leggett. I would hate that. I don't want to root against him.
I don't want to draft him. So we'll be together.
Bubba has a question. What time will Draft Countdown's fashion show coverage start next week? And Bubba, I have got an announcement to make here. Totally surrounding that.
Our very own fashionista and trash TV watching Miranda Wilhelm is going to live tweet the NFL draft red carpet next week. And she's gonna hashtag it draft fashion show, and it's gonna be great. I am looking forward to entertaining this. Draft Countdown Twitter account will retweet the best observations that she has there. It's gonna be good stuff. I'm looking forward to that.
Look, and she doesn't hold back, so it'll be a lot of fun.
Right. All right. So that's gonna do it for the question and answer portion of tonight's show. Final thoughts, Shane. We want to send out our thoughts to the family of Albany edge rusher AJ Simon, who was found dead last night. The cause of death not yet known. Stood out at the Hula Bowl this year. I know Josh Buchanan thought he was one of the better FCS prospects in this year's class. So thoughts out to his family.
Yeah, that's always so unfortunate to see a young person taken, you know, well before they should have been. So,
that's going to do it for tonight's edition of the Draft Countdown Podcast. Along with tonight, a lot of draft props. Great stuff from Eric at home, as always. Again, if you're following along on YouTube for the first time, hit that subscribe button. Hit the notification bell so you get notified when we go live each and every week. And that includes wall-to-wall coverage of the NFL Draft next week. And next Wednesday, you will get an early look at my final mock draft that we posted to the site on Thursday morning. But you will get it pick by pick live on this podcast next week as I go through picks 1 through 32 with trades coming up next week. So you got that to look forward to. Plus, Shane and Paul will have mocks on the site, and Brad as well.
Yeah,
all leading up to the NFL draft. So good stuff coming. And if you listen to this, by the way, if you come across this audio, be it Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcast, hit that 5-star review there and share that out as well. Follow me on Twitter at Deep Fried Draft. Follow Shane on Twitter at Shane P. Howell. And follow Draft Countdown on Twitter at Draft Countdown. And for all of your NFL draft needs, head over to draftcountdown.com. For Shane, I'm Brian. Good night, everybody.